Our reading from the Word of God this morning is in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll begin to read at verse 1 and read through verse 16. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, Jesus Christ, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Our Father, how grateful we are to you for your word. You have revealed yourself to us in it. You have shown us our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've given us wisdom from you that we might live to your glory. We pray, O Lord, that this morning you would give us ears to hear, hearts ready to believe and embrace all that you say to us in this text. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Sally's on the phone. She's crying. Her dad's had a heart attack. He's on his way to the hospital, and she wants you to come now. She needs you. She's pleading with you to drop everything and come. Please come. It's so hard to say no when that kind of urging is going on, when there's tears and there's pleading in the voice and there's urgency to the situation. It's very, very hard to say, not now. Can't do it. Sorry. This chapter begins with the Apostle Paul urging you, the church. He's pleading with you, and he's not willing to cover over his circumstances. Now, he reminds you that he's in prison. He's there for Jesus' sake. He's there because he has been out doing the work to which Christ called him. And from that prison cell, he's pleading with you. He's reminding you that you have a calling, and you need to live in a manner worthy of that calling. And as he does that, he's reminding you of all the things that surround walking in that way. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We'll be focusing on verses 1 through 3 of this passage. It's at in the end of verse 2 where sort of the heart of Paul's urging comes to the forefront, bearing with one another in love. See, that's really where Paul is at here. He's urging you, he's pleading with you to bear with one another in love. We're going to call that forbearing love. So throughout the sermon, rather than using that phrase, that clause again and again, we're going to be talking about forbearing love, but it's pointing us back to the end of verse 2. Forbearing love is that perseverance which doesn't cool off in the face of problems and uncomfortable situations. It doesn't cool off in the face of irritations. Now, did you notice the progression there in the Apostles' Creed? You know, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. You know, I don't think it was an accident that the forgiveness of sins comes after the communion of saints, because so many of our sins are committed against one another in the body of Christ. And that's the context, I believe, in which Paul is speaking here. When we live together, whether it's in a family or in a church, in a community of God's people, we do sin against one another. And Paul here is calling us to forbear in love with one another, in order that we might preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Forbearing love is like that runner going down the track at full speed, and the first hurdle is coming, and he doesn't slow down. He keeps his pace, and he goes over it and keeps on going to the next hurdle and goes over that. That's the picture of this forbearing love in this text. God wants you to have that kind of love for one another, despite the problems that will surface in your relationships, the irritations that will come, the obstacles that will be present. But before we can fully consider forbearing love, we need to hear the early part of the passage. Listen again to verses 1 and 2. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. It begins with this call, this urging, this pleading to walk worthy of your calling. And your calling is a grace-filled calling. Paul has spent the whole first three chapters of Ephesians telling you about that calling, telling you how before the foundations of the world, God set his love upon you, telling you how in Jesus Christ, he has paid the penalty for your sins. He bore your wrath on the cross. And so he brings you forgiveness, and he brings you into the kingdom of God as heavenly citizens. And he brings you into the family of God as children who are loved. God, the Apostle Paul, in those early verses of chapter 1, just lays out the breadth of the benefits that have come to you who are trusting Christ, the benefits that are yours in him and only in him. For the truth is that we entered this world as sinners. We were sinners by birth, and we became sinners by choice. We chose to live in ways that are in opposition to God. We were a people who needed redemption, who needed mercy. And God reached out to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, graciously reached out to us and redeemed us. And so that's what Paul is reflecting on when he talks about living in a manner that's worthy of the calling with which you were called. You were called to faith in Jesus Christ. You were called to that faith graciously by God. He doesn't come exacting a pound of flesh from you. He exacted it from his Son, Jesus Christ. He provided that substitute in your place, that one who would bear your sins. And so he calls you to live in keeping with that grace. to live in keeping with that mercy that you have been shown, to walk worthy of it. And that's not a call to some kind of heroic deed, some kind of super Christianity, because he goes on to talk about a trio of graces that are anything but heroic. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. See, all of those precede forbearing love. They walk with it. They're a part of this walking in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Think about humility. Think about lowliness, is how some other translations put it. It's the opposite of arrogance, you know, Mr. Know-it-all. It's the opposite of pride, you know, rejoicing in me and who I am and what I can do. It's rather recognizing our place. See, Jesus, the very Son of God, as he called us to take his yoke upon himself, says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus isn't a doormat letting everyone walk on him, but he sees himself in his proper place. He's God from eternity, but he's the Son who has willingly covenanted with the Father to live in obedience to the Father here on earth, to live under the law that was a very part of his nature as God. But he takes upon himself the form of a servant, and he serves God, and he serves his people, even to the point of death on the cross. Being lowly in heart is recognizing our place. We're creatures of God. We're under him. We take our very next breath because of his mercy to us. We don't know the way. We need his word to show us what is truth and how to live that truth in the world. See, lowliness, humility is recognizing who I am, that I am nothing without God and his mercy to me in Jesus Christ. And then he says, all humility, complete humility, not just a flash now and then, but this is what is to mark how we live our life. We live with this recognition that we are God's, that we were bought with a price, that we're not our own, we're his. And it's all gentleness. See, how does the person who is humble act toward others? You know, notice how Jesus put these two things together. You know, come, take my yoke upon yourself. Learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. You know, gentleness and humility go together. Gentleness isn't being, you know, the namby-pamby who has no strength in him at all, who just is kind of like a piece of paper blowing in the wind. You go wherever the wind takes you. But gentleness, complete gentleness, because that word also modifies gentleness. All gentleness is not dealing harshly with others, not dealing rudely with others, but often it's dealing with them in strength, the very strength of God. Think of how Jesus dealt with people. He was very tender toward those who were smarting and hurting, whose lives were torn apart by sin and who were living with the guilt of that and the sense of alienation from God and yet wanting to be connected to him. But with those who were self-righteous, you know, those who thought they had it all together, who knew all the answers, he could be very hard on them, very firm, very strong in everything that he says and how he acts toward them. See, gentleness is knowing how to use the strength that we have. And we know that as parents. You know, your little girl slams her fingers in the door in the house. You know, you don't go and grab the hand and just yank it out of the door. You know, if it's still stuck there, you open the door and you gently take it out and you gently look and see what's happened. Now, you don't go twisting around at the fingers just to see how much pain you can inflict so that she'll never do that again and be so stupid. You know, or the doctor. You know, when the child comes in, you know, with a broken arm, needs to be reset, you know, there's going to be some pain, and it's going to take some strength. The bones have to be lined up properly if it's going to heal right, if it's going to function well. And so that doctor, with gentleness and yet with strength and firmness, is going to set those bones, get them lined up in order that the healing can take place well. Gentleness is using just the right amount of strength. Whatever the situation may be, whatever the circumstances are, it's having that godly wisdom to know how much strength is needed. And then that third grace that's there, you know, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. Patience. I always thought I was a patient person. That was before I was married and before I had children. And then, you know, in the face of some of those circumstances that come, you know, I learned that I could be really irritable and that I wasn't particularly patient. You know, you're simply in neutral sometimes and you think you're being patient. But patience reflects on the fact that there's going to be provocation, that there's going to be irritation. Something's not going to go my way. How do you deal with that? Well, are you willing to suffer long? You know, that old word for patience, long suffering. You know, it really is a good word picture, isn't it? Suffering long, not just for the moment, you know, not just, you know, for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but day in and day out. When the same situation occurs again. You know, when he goes and buries himself in the electronic game one more time and you're ready to pull your hair out, being patient. When she spends more than you think she ought to, again, being patient and long-suffering. And so even before we get to forbearing love, the Apostle Paul lays out for us that this walking in a manner worthy of our calling, worthy of this grace that God has poured out on us in Jesus Christ, requires that we walk in these graces. Humility, gentleness, patience. And if as a person of God you see that one of those is not where it ought to be in your life, you plead with him to give you more of it, to give you the grace to progress and to learn how to be humble, how to be gentle, how to be patient. Because as you will need all three of those to bear with one another in love. You know, notice that phrase there at the end, in love. It's not simply gritting your teeth and putting up with it. In love. Keep that in mind. But think about this forbearing love. It assumes irritation. I've been saying that a couple times already. Bearing with. You know, that simply presumes things are not going the way you think they want to go. You know, you can look around you at church, not necessarily at other people, but you can see things like, you know, they haven't dusted whatever it is in the last 3 years. You know, when is somebody finally going to get the dust cloth out and get rid of the dust in that spot? Or, you know, for me, you know, I go to Trinity Church in Hatboro. You know, I look at your praise book. I think, wow, that's gorgeous. Trinity has a blue folder, and it's very confusing now because we used to have the red Trinity hymnal. Now we have a blue version of the revised Trinity hymnal, so they talk about the blue hymnal and the blue folder. Well, it's easy to be confused. and it's getting old and it's getting tattered. And, you know, I've mentioned it a couple times to the appropriate people and nothing's been done. You're like, how hard can it be? You know, there's an administrative assistant at the church. What does she do with her time all day? You know, it's it's easy for us to get irritated over all kinds of things without even other people being involved. And then you introduce other people who don't have your priorities, who maybe even sin against you, or people you've sinned against, and now you sort of keep your distance. You don't want to embarrass yourself again. Well, we live together, and we sin against each other. There is irritation. See, picture, a beautiful piece of polished wood. You think of the communion table or the pulpit. Somebody didn't simply go to the junk heap at the sawmill and pick up beautiful finished pieces of wood. They started with some rough wood. And then they introduced some more roughness to it. They introduced sandpaper, that gritty, rough stuff, and rubbed and rubbed and rubbed, and the wood began to get smooth. And a polish was introduced to it. It took that roughing up of that rough wood in order for you finally to have a finished product. Well, this is how God enables you to grow in forbearing love. He introduces irritation into your life. Because without that irritation, you don't have an opportunity to grow in forbearing love, bearing with one another in love. So when you joined the church, you became another piece of sandpaper to help polish, the other brothers and sisters in the body. And they were that sandpaper working on you. When you got married, you married a piece of sandpaper, and she married you. The two of you working together. You had that first child full of joy, full of wonder, and then the irritations start. The colic and the sleepless nights, and then the grumpiness of the teenager, all the moodiness that's there. Irritations that God is using like sandpaper in God's hand to polish you, to perfect you, to help you to grow in your forbearance, your loving forbearance of one another, helping you to be humble and gentle and patient. Forbearing love. It's not simply something we can take or leave, say, no, thank you. I can pass up on that grace. I don't need that one, thanks. Well, Paul is saying we do need forbearing love. Look where he goes in verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is all part of that one sentence yet. It's part of what he's pleading with you about, part of what he's urging you about. What Paul has in mind is not forbearing love in and of itself, not humility, gentleness, patience, just to stand there alone. But it's toward a goal, the goal of maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But we don't get to form that unity. That's something that Christ does through his Spirit. He binds us together. We are the ones who are to maintain it, to maintain it. And we do that as we bear with one another in love, as we live together lovingly, but also forbearingly, as we're willing to deal with the irritations, as we're willing to not get our back up and get ourselves all bent out of shape when things don't go my way, but we're willing to hear our brothers and sisters. We're willing to hear their ideas. We're willing to recognize that the differences that are there between me and them are there for the beauty of the body of Christ and the usefulness of the body of Christ. Each one of us is a member, not because simply we decided to be here, or the elders admitted you to membership. Remember what the Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 18, he says, God arranged the members in the body, both the local church and the broader church. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. God brought you together. This is his body here. He brought you into contact with each other for your mutual benefit, for his glory, for the benefit of his church worldwide, for the ministry of the gospel here in Bridgeton, but for your personal growth in Christ. You need each other. And so you learn slowly, persistently, to bear with one another in love. Paul is calling you to this active, even aggressive, pressing on in your relationship with each other in a loving way. He doesn't want you simply to have gotten your back up at some point and sort of retreat off to your little corner and just live there in semi-isolation. Now, there's a unity in the body, a unity that is to be maintained. And it's maintained as you walk in a manner worthy of this gracious calling you have, as you live with all gentleness and humility, as you live with patience, as you bear with one another in love. That's how the unity of the body is maintained. It's an aggressive working toward that. Consider how God has dealt with you. He's very forbearing in love, isn't he? Think about some of the sins in your life, maybe some of those that are not so public, but even some public ones. How frequently you stumble into that sin. How frequently you slip and you fall again and again and again. There's all this gunk in your life, but God doesn't throw you aside. He doesn't go off in a corner and abandon you. He continues to love you in Christ. He continues to extend to you his mercy. The blood of Jesus is as fresh for washing away your sin today, despite how often you failed him in this covenant relationship, as it was when you first came to the cross. He continues to love you. He continues to redeem you in Christ. He continues to call you a child of his love. He continues to perfect you, to make you fit to live with him forever. See, God's forbearing love to you is incredible when you let yourself think about it. When you're willing to acknowledge how frequently you must be an irritation to God because you're not living up to everything that he says in his word. And it's not some new thing you discover every day. It's some of the same stuff again and again. And that's not unusual. I'll never forget a very personal question that a fellow classmate asked Dr. Cornelius Van Til. He said, Dr. Van Til, tell us a little bit about your walk with Christ. You know, have you been able to put away, you know, the sins that you had to deal with as a young man? And this was when Dr. Van Til was getting pretty close to retiring. And instead of being offended by that in an apologetics class, you know, Dr. Van Til was willing to be transparent. He said, "I'm still dealing with the same sins I dealt with as a young man." He didn't elaborate, but he left it there. And that's true, I believe, for all of us. We have unique ways of sinning. Not that other people don't sin in those ways, but the unique combination of things that we seem to be susceptible to, that we easily get tripped up by. You know, they often are so persistent in our life, year after year, decade after decade. God has been forbearing with you. He is forbearing with you in love. And he's calling you through the Apostle Paul, this one who has served so zealously and now is in prison for his faith and for his ministry in the gospel. God, through the apostle, is urging you, pleading with you to be like your father, to bear with each other in love. And that may mean that there are areas in which you need to seek others' forgiveness. It's not easy to do that. Not easy to go to that brother that you're kind of estranged from because you had words years ago. But I pray that today might be a day when, by God's grace, you seek to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And in forbearing love, you go and confess your sin to your brother, that you might be reconciled together, that you might forgive one another, that you might maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I pray that today, whether in your home or in the church, would be a day for you to come together with others with whom you've been irritable and sinful, and come together at the foot of the cross, that the blood of Christ might wash you again, and you might be reconciled to one another. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood. Indeed, it never loses its power. It washes away our sin. It enables us to seek your mercy, but it also enables us to seek the forgiveness of brothers and sisters. Whether that brother or sister is our husband or our wife, or a fellow member of our church. Father, you have brought us together in the church, the body of Christ. There is one body. And yet sometimes we act as if even in one local congregation, there are multiple congregations. We each have our own little corner. Father, bring us together at the foot of the cross. Enable us to walk in this trio of graces that we might have forbearing love one toward another, that we might seek to maintain the unity of the body. It's for your glory's sake we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. 451-7644. 844. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.